الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to a fantastic episode of the Silsila, the Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever city, whichever country, whichever hemisphere, whichever suburb or locality, we are hopeful that yourself and your family are safe and sound. Do make dua for the grief-stricken ummah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they are suffering in the world. May Allah Jalla Jalaluhu from His hidden sources remove their difficulties, grant them protection against the tyrants and the oppressors. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have another topic that may apply to many of us out there. And we are going to be talking about conflict management, how to manage conflicts, conflict resolutions as well, because conflicts are bound to happen. People have different temperaments, different ideas, thoughts, opinions, and when they get together with somebody with the opposite kinds of opinions, then in many cases conflicts arise, arguments arise. And sometimes that leads to a lot of destructions. If the person cannot control themselves, control the emotions, and at least tolerate and respect the next person's opinion, they could end up fighting and hurting each other or verbally abusing each other. We will be talking a little bit about that in a few minutes, but let's first make some good intentions. Because niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi, the intention of a believer is better than his action. And as you know, in this wonderful environment of Dawati Islami, Amir Ahl Sunnat Damul Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawati Islami, the Kamil Wali of the time, the great scholar of Islam, always encourages us time and again, make good intentions so that you increase your thawab and your rewards in the court of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Let's make some good intentions right now. That Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the Silsila of Madani channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen, that what I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, what little good we are doing, accept it in your court for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and transfer this as Isal al-Thawab to all marhumin. There are so many wonderful blessings for reciting salawat in Durood-e Pak. Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, our mother, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, من صلى علي يوم الجمعة كانت شفاعة له عندي يوم القيامة. Allahu Akbar. Meaning, whoever recites durood upon me on a Friday will be blessed with intercession from my court on the day of judgment. You know, that's going to be a really trying day, a day of tests for human beings, for you and I. And we'll need all the help that we can get. And the help of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be there for those who are loyal to him. Allah azza wa jal, make us loyal. Make us obedient to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the person who is obedient to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be obedient to Allah jalla jalaluhu. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Let's listen to a beautiful kalam and we will return shortly and we will be discussing conflict management. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
پوچھے گا مولا لایا ہے کیا کیا پوچھے گا مولا لایا ہے کیا کیا میں یہ کہوں گا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد
When Allah will ask, What have you brought? I will then say, The name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی کر لو وظیفہ نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
رکھو لحد میں جس دم عزیز ہو رکھو لحد میں جس دم عزیز ہو مجھ کو سنانا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد
Oh my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤں جس نے سکھایا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد
May I sacrifice my life for Raza who taught the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ عز و جل ما شاء اللہ I'm sure you also enjoyed that wonderful kalam. If you go to YouTube and you type in Nath Production, this is the official page of Your Dawat-e-Islami, and so many wonderful Nath Sharif, Hamd Sharif, Mankabat, Munajat, and kalams are available there. You can download them and you can just think of Medina Sharif. Think about going to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, and Allah Jalla Jalaluhu take us there time and again. Take us to visit Aqsa Sharif time and again. Ameen bijahi khatmin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that prevention is better than cure. And starting in your household and then extending it to your fellow humans, fellow Muslims, at the workplace, at school, college, university, out there in the world, we are going to come across people that we disagree with. And one thing we can agree with there is that we agree to disagree. Islam, this beautiful way, this perfect way of living, teaches us tolerance, teaches us to define our character. That even if I disagree with you, I don't need to swear at you. I don't need to harm you with my hands or with my tongue. No. To you, your way, to me, my way. Yes. When it comes to correct beliefs, then of course I cannot respect and accept what the next person is saying if they have corrupt beliefs. Like if any person, for example, insults the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insults any Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any of the Ahlul Bayt Athar, the purified household members of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any of the Awliya Allah, any core Islamic beliefs, then I cannot accept, I cannot respect. I rather move away from that person so that their corrupt influence does not enter into my mind and heart as well. In Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Zadaha Allahu Sharafa wa Ta'zeema, there were two tribes, the Aus and Khazraj. And at first, they lived in great unity. They lived together in peace and harmony. But they were two different tribes. And Allahu Akbar, a fight had broken out between these two tribes. Because it was the nature of the Arabs in pre-Islamic Arabia. Over trivial matters, clans and tribes would go to war with each other. And that would last decades and generations as well. And so much of bloodshed used to be shed that it was unbelievable. And here as well, between the Aus and Khazraj, they had their days of peace and harmony, and all of a sudden a war breaks out between these two. There is conflict. They cannot resolve it. And the last battle and war that they had, almost all of the famous warriors from both sides, from both tribes, the Aus and Khazraj, they were killed. That was the Battle of Bu'ath, which was a very intense battle that finished off most of the famous warriors of both tribes. And enmity started to grow between them and deepen as well. But then comes Islam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam introduces Islam to them. And after embracing Islam, all the old conflicts between the Aus and the Khazraj came to an end. Completely came to an end. And due to the sacred teachings of Islam, of living in tolerance, peace and harmony, these two tribes once again lived in unity, in peace and harmony, through the blessings of Islam, through the blessings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a wonderful title, because they truly in the formative years uplifted Islam, helped Islam, gave them the title Ansar, gave them the title of the helpers, Allahu Akbar, and made it a sign of Iman. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sign of Iman, the sign of faith, is to love the Ansar. Allah, these were the residents of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Zadahallahu sharafu wa ta'zeema. And he further says, and the sign of Nifaq, of hypocrisy, is to have hatred and enmity against the Ansar. Now once again, the Aus and Khazraj, who now are known as the Ansar, the helpers, they are living in peace, they're sitting together, eating together, socializing, because they are brothers now. That's what Islam does. No matter where you are in the world, whether you are in the Americas, whether in Australasia, Europe, Asia, in Africa, if you're in the Middle East, in China, wherever it may be, if you're a believer, if you're a Muslim, you are my brother. If I leave South Africa and I go to China, or I go to another part of Africa, or to Europe, or to America, South America, Canada, and there's Muslims there, we will, you know, we'll be on the same page. Subhanallah. Yes, we'll have our minor differences, but in those differences, it shows the flexibility of Islam within the Sharia. Because they could be Muslims of different madhahib, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, of different turuq and silsilas, Qadidi, Chishti, Naqshbandi, Suhrawardi, subhanallah, different salasil are there. And this is the colorful beauty of Islam, subhanallah. So wherever a Muslim goes, when they see fellow Muslims, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, they're on the same page, you know, automatically they click. So the Aus and Khazraj, they embraced Islam and they embraced each other to live in unity. One day, the Aus and Khazraj, some of the members, now known as the Ansar, the helpers, they are sitting together, they're socializing, they're talking to each other, and they are being merciful to each other. A disbeliever passes by, and when he sees that Islam has eradicated the conflicts between these two tribes of Aus and Khazraj and made them the Ansar, the helpers now, to help Islam, that person became upset and started to burn in the fire of jealousy. He sent a young man, he told the young man, you know, they used to sing these certain poems in order to incite hatred for the other tribe. Go amongst them and start to recite those poems. Recite those poems so that once again we try to ignite, you know, we light the fire, take the match and light the fire and put fuel on the fire. This is what he tried to do. So this young man goes, he starts to loudly recite this poetry, inciting the poetry of the past that the Aus and Khazraj, they used to recite in order to flare up the flames of hatred for each other. The Aus and Khazraj members, they started to listen to these poems, and the emotions got reignited. They were thinking about their forefathers, their ancestors, how they used to fight, their warriors. And once again, Shaitan, he whispered in their hearts, and they all stood up, said, yes, that is true. Those poems are true of our ancestors, of our family members, of our great warriors that you all had killed. Each one is now blaming the other again. Allahu Akbar. They said, right, let's meet on the battlefield again. Just like that. Because of this negative and evil influence from the outside. They met on the battlefield, fully geared with their weapons, with their swords. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to find out about this and quickly rushes to the battlefield. And he stands there and he stops both the tribes and says, I am present amongst you and you are going to fight the war of ignorance. Listening to this, this advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it pierces their hearts and their minds. And they start to realize, we are believers, we are brothers, we are Muslims. And both of them, they realized that they had been trapped in this satanic trap and manipulation, this conspiracy of the disbelievers. They both repented, both sides. They made sincere tawbah. They went and they embraced each other. They asked for maaf, they apologized from the bottom of their hearts, and they returned home with affection under the leadership of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, have you seen that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at any time always was a master in conflict resolution? Even before announcing his nubuwah at the age of 40 years old, do you remember when the Kaaba had got damaged and the Hajar Aswad, the black stone, the blessed black stone, was to be put back in the corner? And how did he resolve that conflict? Each tribe of Makkah Sharif is claiming that, no, we want to be the ones who place the stone. We want to be, and the conflict is going on. And then they call Al-Amin al-Sadiq, the truthful, the most honest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is before even announcing his prophethood to the people, that you give us the solution. You resolve this conflict. And what mastery the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed. That he is the master. He is the master of the creation of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And he says, okay, place a shawl on the floor. We place the Hajri Aswad, the blessed black stone, on it. Each tribe member send one representative to hold that shawl and take it towards the corner of Ka'batullah, and I will take the stone and place it in. And everybody was happy with this. I mean, you just have to study the blessed seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to that understanding that at every turn, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing conflict resolution and was a master in it. Because whenever he would resolve these matters, people would be satisfied. People would really appreciate it as well. Subhanallah. We are also taught that be very careful of the trickery of shaitan. He's there, he's real. He is from amongst the jinn, not from amongst the angels. Some people have this, especially some youngsters, because of the influence they are getting from social media, from their peers, the peer pressure, or maybe from some books that they read. They feel that shaitan, Iblis, is a fallen angel. Allahu Akbar. That's not the Islamic belief. The Islam is very clear, the Quran is very clear, that he is from amongst the jinn. Angels are made from nur, from light. And the jinn, they are made from nar, from smokeless fire. And this Iblis, this cursed, humiliated shaitan, who's going to reside permanently in the hellfire, he is from amongst the jinn kind. And so he has many traps that he lays. And one of the things he tries his best to do is to corrupt a person's iman and to corrupt people's a'mal and good deeds with evil intentions. He whispers, he doesn't force you that, no, you must do it like this. He whispers these evil ideas into our minds and into our hearts, what we call wasawis. And we are warned in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Bani Israel, verse 53,
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna shaitana kana lil insani aduwan mubina.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, shaitan is an open enemy of human beings. And in another surah, Suratul Ma'idah, verse 91,
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء. Translation from Kanzul Iman. The devil desires only that he infuses hatred and enmity between you. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, don't you see it? Don't you hear about it? How families get split, husbands and wives get separated, parents and children are not on talking terms, siblings are not on talking terms. It is Shaitan who's behind the scenes, trying his level best to create mischief, fitna, to create that conflict between us, between human beings, between family members. And largely he succeeds, because we don't recognize it, that it is Shaitan who is hiding like a coward behind the scenes, whispering into our hearts and minds, or using me to destroy this relationship that I have with my brother, with my sister, with my mother, with my father, with my children, with my spouse. We see it, how there is an increase in separation between husband and wife, something which we never heard of in the decades that have passed. And why is it on the increase? Of course, one reason would be, the more we drift away from the teachings of Islam, and the more we adopt the backward, destructive lifestyle out there of the so-called civilized nations, then it's only normal that we will destroy our relationships. It's only normal that we will fall into those traps of Shaitan and destroy ourselves. Those lifestyles out there that is portrayed, that is marketed in the entertainment industry, that is marketed in from those organizations and the news and the social media, because it's all run by one group of people, the people of Shaitan, the people of Dajjal. They are in charge of these big corporations and these entertainment industries and a lot of these major social media outlets. They are behind the scenes. And this is why when you look at the news, there's a lot of fake news. And they're all saying the same, more or less the same thing. Because the source is one, this group that's there. From behind, from the shadows, they work. And they promote, they use these actors and actresses and musicians to promote that decadent, backward lifestyle. They make them famous. They give them the money, they put them in those roles in the movies, and you know, they make them famous, they prop them up, so that they make those people, they are the puppet masters, they make these puppets, the so-called rich and famous in the entertainment industry, who are the puppets, the people that are pulling their strings on the top, and use them to promote those destructive lifestyles. And you just have to have a little look and you'll see it. I mean, the person is rich and famous, but they have no peace in their life. They step out of their home and they're looking, where are the paparazzi? Where are the people trying to video them or take pictures or take selfies or, you know, invade their private space? They have no peace. Many of them are on drugs. Many of them are alcoholics. Many of them are suicidal. So that peace is missing. But they portray on the TV, on the internet, they portray on the media that they are the most happiest people, when they are completely the opposite, the saddest people in the world, because they have no spirituality. They have no Islam in their life. So how can they be happy? It's all a show. They're just acting. They are masters in acting on screen, and even their day-to-day life, they're so used to it that they act away. But for those who live with them, for those who really know them, they know that this person is taking pills to sleep at night. They are depressed. Allahu Akbar. So if we follow that lifestyle, we'll always be in conflict with each other. Because that lifestyle teaches conflict. That no, my opinion matters. I don't care about your opinion. And you and I as Muslims, my opinion is fashioned according to the Sharia. That's the first thing I need to look at. Before I engage in conflict with any person, the first thing, before I take the first step in anything in my life, I must always go back to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, to whom we will return very soon, and the law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Quran say? What does the hadith say? What does the Sharia say? Is it allowed or not allowed? If it's allowed, mashallah, bismillah. If it's not allowed, take it, squash it up, throw it into the bin. It has no place in your life. There's no benefit in it. Even if the people out there on the social media and entertainment industry, they portray that, no, this is the dream, this is the dream life. It has no place. Because behind the scenes, we know very well how depressed they are, the majority of them, how their marriages do not last at all. How? Today they married, tomorrow they married to somebody else. Next week they married to somebody else, like they change their socks every day. Marriage is like that for them. They don't care. They have no peace. They have no loyalty. Their loyalty, however, is to shaitan. Because the entertainment industry largely is the marketing machine of shaitan. He's the CEO. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had condemned quarreling. We find this happen a lot. Arguments. A person is, you know, just wants to argue their point across. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most disliked in the court of Almighty Allah is the one who is extremely quarrelsome. Think about it. Do I fit in this category? If I do, I am the most disliked in the court of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Shame on me. How useless I am actually. If I like to always quarrel and fight and argue with people, then I'm disliked. The most disliked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who quarrels, who argues without a reason, always remains in the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal until he abandons it. Furthermore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, no nation strayed after staying on guidance but because of quarrels. And one more hadith, a person cannot reach the excellence in the reality of faith of Iman until he leaves quarreling despite being right. Is it really worth it? To always, you come home from work as the man of the house, you as the father, you as the husband, you are the captain of the ship, you are the driver of the vehicle, you are in charge, you are the shepherd of the flock. And if you come home and always you are arguing with your wife, or vice versa, your wife is always arguing with you, are you going to have peace in the home? You'll feel like, you know what, why did I come home? I'd rather have stayed at work and worked overtime, extra hours, or just went to my friends and come back late when everybody's sleeping at home. Make your home a place of sukoon, of tranquility, which is free from conflicts. Conflicts are going to happen. But how do you manage it? One very important thing we need to keep in our minds is that, yes, healthy discussions are good in order to avoid major conflicts and misunderstandings later on. Target it as soon as it arises. As soon as it rears its ugly head, cut it down same time. Discuss the matter in a courteous manner, politely, with good words, with understanding, the point of view of the other person with wisdom, same time, before it builds and then it's all out of control. And this is where we need to control our anger as well and divert it towards something positive. So keep these little points in mind, that Islam teaches us these conflict resolutions. Also very important, when you are in a conflict with somebody, this you must keep in the back of your mind always. What I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, is there any benefit in it? Is there any positivity in it? Or I just want to vent my frustrations or just angrily pass my point across, no matter what it is, no matter what I say, how I say it. Maybe a person will use vulgarism, obscenities, or belittle the next person, assassinate their character, hurt their feelings. To hurt the feelings of a Muslim is a major sin, and there's great punishment attached to that. So that you keep in mind, whatever it is, I must not violate this person's rights. By violating their rights, I'm going to be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. Think of the consequences. If I hurt their feelings, if I hurt them physically, verbally, emotionally, psychologically, they are going to demand their rights from me on the Day of Judgment. And that person is the penniless person. In a summary of a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba ikram alayhi wa sallam, who is a penniless person? And he said, the person who doesn't have any dinar or dirham, any wealth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him, no, the penniless person will be that person on the Day of Judgment, will have many salahs, fasts, sadaqah, zakat. But due to the sins of others, will enter into Jahannam, because despite having all, doing all of those good deeds and piling up his rewards for the hereafter, one person will come, Ya Allah, this person hurt me. Another person will come, and people will continue to come and demand their rights, demand justice. That is the day of true justice. This world we have superficial justice. How many criminals escape from prison? How many criminals are never caught? And how many of them bribe the authorities? They escape, never caught. And yet they steal, they rob, they hurt, they murder. Allahu Akbar. But on the Day of Judgment, where are they going to escape to? Who can they bribe? With what can they bribe them? On the Day of Judgment, that is the day of true justice. So all those who are being oppressed today, or in the past, or in the future, the day will come. You die one time only. And on the Day of Judgment, justice will be served. And the oppressors will be humiliated. Those who are directly oppressing, and those who are complicit, and supplying, and supporting the oppressor, they all are going to be disgraced utterly in front of the whole of humanity. Disgraced, punished, and thrown headlong into the fire. Maybe here they feel like, nobody can touch us. Your day is coming. Or oppressors out there who oppress their families, who oppress people, nations, the innocent ones, civilians, when your time comes, when the seizing of Allah Azza wa Jal happens, there's no escape. There is no escape. So before you entertain any conflict, then keep in mind, whatever I'm going to say and do, I must not violate this person's rights. Otherwise, on the Day of Judgment, this person will demand from me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give my good deeds to this person. And when my good deeds run out and people are still coming and demanding their right, their haqq, their bad deeds will be put onto my head and I will go into Jahannam. Despite initially having so many good deeds, but everything will be lost. Everything will be lost and I will be flung into the pits of hell. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us understanding. We have a short clip and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The most noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, indeed, humiliating a Muslim without a cause, one of the major sins. Dear viewers, in reality, a Muslim is the protector of another Muslim's honor. Sadly, in these trying times, things have shifted to the opposite end of the spectrum, and Muslims are seeking opportunities to humiliate other Muslims. Muslims are backbiting, tail-bearing, accusing and hurting others' feelings without any justification. It is stated on the page 19 of booklet titled Zulm Ka Anjam, the publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, the matters of the rights of others are very fragile. Sadly, these are difficult times. Not only are common people infringing upon the rights of the people, but the apparent flag bearers of religion are also oblivious to these matters. The disease of anger is common, and so-called righteous and noble hurt the feelings of others people. Allahu Akbar. They remain oblivious of the fact that hurting the feelings of a Muslim without a permissible cause under Islamic law is a sin and an act that leads one to hell. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala has quoted a hadith from At-Tabrani on page 342 of Fatawa Radawiyya, volume 24. The most dignified Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cautioned, Man aza musliman faqad azani, وَمَنْ آذَانِي فَقَدْ آذَ اللَّهِ, meaning, whoever without a cause that is permissible under Islamic law harms a Muslim, he has annoyed me, and the one who annoys me has annoyed Allah Azza wa Jalla. Regarding those that harm Allah and His Prophet Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has stated in the Quran part 22 and Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Indeed, those who offend Allah and His Messenger, upon them is Allah's curse in the world and in the hereafter. And Allah has kept prepared a disgraceful punishment for them. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ استغفر الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله عز وجل. Always something to learn. We are talking about conflict management and resolutions. Our last point was, before you argue with anybody, before you engage in some conflict or quarrel with them, keep in mind that whatever it is, I must fulfill this person's rights and not violate it, otherwise I will be held accountable and answerable on the day of judgment. So think of the consequences. Think before you talk and think before you do. Does Islam allow this or not? Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep these narrations in mind. It will help you in conflict resolution, in your lives, in your homes, in your workplaces as well. The beloved master, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who abandons quarreling whilst being at fault, person is wrong and they quarreling, whilst being wrong, if they leave that quarreling, a house will be built for him at the outskirts of Jannah. And the one who abandons quarreling despite being right, this person is correct, but he leaves the arguments, he leaves the conflict, and he leaves the quarreling, then a house will be built for him in the middle of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. This must motivate us. It must motivate us in order to leave these conflicts that we are in and patch things up, mend things. If every person thought like this, that you know what, let me be the one to initiate that mending of the relationship. If everybody thought like this, subhanAllah azza wa jal, how will our households be? How will our localities and our societies be? That no, I'm going to wait for him to come to me because I'm right. If you right, and if you leave the arguments, and you initiate that mending of relationship, how much of a reward there is in for you. Just keep those relations in mind. And, you know, if we don't resolve conflicts, if we don't make it into positive, then a lot of other evil things will spring out from there, like backbiting, like lying about the person, slandering the person, belittling the person, assassinating their character, tail-bearing, jealousy, hatred, enmity. How will you get peace in your life if a person is filled with all of these negative feelings, negative emotions? Let it go and do your best to mend that relationship. Life is too short. Life is just too short to get embroiled in all of these, many of them unnecessary conflicts, unnecessary arguments as well. And keep in mind the consequences of lying, of backbiting, of being jealous, of you know, ill thoughts for fellow Muslims. And it's not worth it. Don't fill yourself with negativity. Fill yourself with positivity, which Islam shows us and teaches us and nurtures us to become positive individuals of society. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.